Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and you are about to listen to the antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, August 21st, 2008. It's now about 6:33 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it is time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. I apologize for the false start we had this morning. We just had a disconnect on our phone lines right in the middle of our introduction, so I apologize for that. Hopefully, we're on the air and everything is working. I think everything seems to be working properly right now. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. I know it's awfully early in the morning to be calling into a radio show, but we do have five lines open. I'd love to hear from you. Any question or comment is welcome. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments and questions to area code 918-919-0101. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, time is running out. You need to become educated on the macroeconomic condition of the world, by the way. It's not only the United States today, but it is the world and how it could affect you. Subscribe to Andy's free newsletter. It's fantastic. I look forward to it. I read it from cover to cover every single time it comes out. And I also subscribe to his investment newsletter, which is even more comprehensive, well worth the few dollars that you spend for it. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to recount a story that I've told actually a couple of times, and I guess I'm going to do it for a second or third time, only because the concept of war has really taken a deep root inside of me. And the more I think about it, and the more I hear the neocons talk about it, the more incensed I get. In fact, the more confused I get, the more concerned I am. Only because we are not thinking. We seem to be a country isolated not only by two oceans, but also psychologically and emotionally isolated. It's like, bomb them, kill 10,000 people, but it's over there, it's for their own good, now I need to go shopping. This is the type of mentality that really, truly concerns me. It scares me, because this is the type of mentality that when it comes to an end, it's not only going to be a shock, it's going to be a horror. Let me just give you one example. We had, on September 11, 2001, airplanes flying into buildings of ours, as everyone recalls, around the world, and about 3,000 people were killed. And this was the biggest tragedy, the biggest invasion on American soil since Pearl Harbor. Although Pearl Harbor was not a state at the time, and that's a different story altogether, and it was a military base, et cetera, et cetera, and we very much expected that, et cetera. But here it was a surprise attack on civilian population. And this is the first time this has happened to us. And as a nation, we not only were shocked, we almost went into a coma. We could not understand this. And the world actually had sympathy for us, which I found quite surprising, by the way. But the world was with us for the first time in a long time. And we haven't forgotten that. it was years before we stopped saying 9/11, 9/11 this, 9/11 that. Well, this is the post 9/11 this, the post 9/11 stock market. I mean, everything was post 9/11. We recounted that, you know, we need the war on terror to prevent another 9/11, et cetera, et cetera. It went on in ignosium. I mean, it got to the point where you just didn't want to hear it anymore. Not that it was not of a concern of yours, not that it was not a tragedy, not that you were not concerned about it or anything like that. It's just after a while, enough is enough. We need to go on, get on to other things. And we need to get on to rebuilding our country. Anyway, my point is this. We go over to Iraq, and now over 1.25 million people have been killed in that conflict. Now, we're not talking about soldiers. We're talking about innocent civilians. And it is continuing. And what is our attitude? Well, listen to Dick Cheney. He said, well, it was worth it. Think about the arrogance of that statement. It was worth it. Yet, if someone came over to his family and hurt anyone in his family, would it be worth it? If that person profited by it? He'd say, well, Dick, I know I harmed your family, but I made money on the deal. It was worth it. This is our mentality. Now, this is the story that I'm going to recount again. I was at a party, met a guy who was a neocon. Very nice guy, by the way. We had a nice conversation. And it turned to talk about war. Don't know how that happened. You know how these conversations go around in circles and you talk everything from, you know, candy balls to war. You just don't know how one leads into the other. There's usually a leading statement, and then it takes its has its own life. Well, this gentleman said that, well, in war, and I think we were talking about Pearl Harbor. No, we were talking about the atomic bomb, you know, and Iran has the atomic bomb and all this other stuff, and we've got to be concerned, and we got to go in there and stop them. And I said, well, you know, we've had the atomic bomb for a long time. He said, well, we wouldn't use it. You know, we're a peace-loving nation. I said, wait a minute, we've used the atomic bomb on civilian populations. He said, when did we ever do that? He said, World War II. He said, that's different. I said, why is that any different? He said, that was war. In war, you have to expect casualties. That's interesting. Now, I dropped the conversation there because, quite frankly, here we are sitting around a table, and this is going nowhere but downhill, and I'm about to eat this guy's lunch. And I don't want to do that because I was invited to this party. And the person who invited me, or the person who said this, was a good friend of the person who invited me. So there was no way I was going to start getting into an ethical conversation with this guy and prove this guy wrong. And I just dropped it there. I said, well, you know, we've got to be careful when we say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It can be very dangerous, and I dropped it. This is what should have been said. I should have said, well, if that's the case, if war is war and the casualties occur, I said, you know, war is a very antiseptic word. I mean, we just say war and it sort of cleanses the whole act. When we say soldier, it cleanses everything, you know. We have terms for everything. And I said, that could be dangerous. But I said, basically, what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we had a plane go over a civilian area, and someone from, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 feet, I don't know how high up, they dropped a bomb, and they left. Well, the person probably felt a tinge of guilt or, you know, concern or whatever, but he was following orders. He says, well, yeah. The person probably would say, yeah, he was following orders. He did the right thing. I said, okay, let's follow that through. Let's say you were in combat, and there was a room filled with women and children. Have nothing to do with the war. They're just young babies, pregnant ladies, you know, ladies, elderly men, just townspeople. And your superior, your sergeant, says, go in there and kill them all. They're the enemy. Would you do it? Well, there's a good chance the guy may say, yep, well, I got to follow orders. You know, I'm a soldier. I follow orders. Well, you know, if he says yes, what type of person does that make him? Going in and killing innocent children and people. Think about it. What type of person does it take to do that? Well, he may start going in, but he also may think the better of it. He may say, no, I really can't. He may just take his gun in there, you know, look at those little babies, look at them right in the eye, you know, think of his own children and say, I can't do this. And he walks out. He may be court-martialed for it. His superior may go in and kill them all and then court-martial and prove nothing. Now, if he did that, he would have done the right thing. And he would have reported his superior. Of course, nothing would have happened, most likely. But he could have walked out. He had that option. He could have been a, quote, a bad soldier. But he's not loyal to his superior. He's loyal to the principles of the United States. He's upholding the U.S. Constitution. And in the U.S. Constitution, we have a right to defend ourselves, not to kill babies. All right, let's follow this through. Let's say the guy says, well, I would still do it because it was my orders and I have no choice. I said, okay, let's take this one step further. Let's say that the people in that room were your daughter and your daughter's unborn baby and her small two-year-old child. Your niece, and your mother and father. Now, your sergeant says, or your superior says, go in there and kill them. Would you do it? Well, the first response is, well, my sergeant wouldn't tell me to do that. Why not? He asked you to kill other innocent people. Why not them? He doesn't know them. What does he care? Well, obviously, the person would not say, oh, yeah, I'll follow the orders of my my superior and kill my daughter, her unborn baby, and also my grandchild and my mother and father. Of course he wouldn't. But then what does that say? Does that say that the closer we are to the people that we are about to kill, the less likely we are to kill them? Think about that. I mean, this has been gnawing at me. Now, I like to go to John McCain. John McCain is considered a war hero. Now, he suffered great pain. He survived torture in a Vietnam prison camp for, I think, 6 years. And he surpassed all expectations of a human being. And I couldn't have done that, I don't think. I think I would have said, just kill me and get this thing over with. They broke his arms. He stood there with broken arms. I know, I've had broken bones. It hurts. Hurts a lot. And I don't take that away from him, please. Don't go there. Here's my point. That what John McCain did is that he had an airplane and he rode over areas of Vietnam, and what did he do? He dropped bombs on people. Now, he didn't know these people. They were truly innocent people. Totally innocent people. Well, then we go back to the argument, well, war is war. Now, we can follow that same line of thinking and apply it to that person who's following orders. And then say, well, what if that was your daughter down there and her unborn child and your grandchild, or your niece or nephew, would you have dropped the bomb? All of a sudden it changes. So all we have to do, all the government has to do, is make war so impersonal that we will kill anyone under any circumstance and follow orders. Now, folks, you can truly understand the cruelty of war. Now, this program was supposed to be about war and inflation. The only way that we could have war is if we have a central bank like the Federal Reserve. You see, the Federal Reserve prints money. Now, if we were on some sort of standard, it could be anything. It could be a gold standard. It could be any standard. Could be no standard at all, other than we print X number of dollars, and the number of dollars outstanding have to equate to the gross domestic product, for example, and that's it. And yet, if that was the case, especially if we're on the gold standard, we couldn't go to war. People blame George Bush for the war in Iraq. Well, obviously he should be taking his share of blame. But at the root of things, where does the blame really belong? It belongs with the Federal Reserve, because without the Federal Reserve, without a central bank given the authority to print as much money as they want, you couldn't have a war. You see, the only way that we could have gone to war in Iraq is if the president came to us and said, excuse me, one second, please, and said, folks, we're going to war. Your taxes are going to be raised substantially to pay for this war. Now, let's go. There would have been outrage. Not one soldier would have left our shore. Now, this is the same, the truth of any war, and I'm including World War I and World War II. Every country that's been on a gold standard, back in the old days, the good old days, when they were on the gold standard, and they went to war, the first thing that they did is they went off the gold standard and they start printing money. Now, when you print money, you inflate the money supply. And that is the hidden tax that the citizens pay. It's the same as if they were taxed up front without inflation. But the only difference is we wouldn't be going to war. Now, countries want to go to war, especially our country. And I'll explain after station identification. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I would appreciate, if you have any call-ins, call in to 646-652-4620 with any comments, any questions. You're welcome. That's 646-652-4620. I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. It is now about 10 minutes to 7. We have about 10 minutes to go. Now, let's see if I can remember where I was going. So without inflation, we would not have war at all. We would have to tax people. But in fact, we do tax the people through inflation. But the people don't see it. But all of a sudden, when they go to the store, they realize that something that costs 49 cents is now 59 cents. And who do they blame? They blame the manufacturer. And not only that, but the countries love war. You see, there was an article written, and let me see if I can find the article. It was by Paul Farrell. It's August 18, 2008. It says, America's Outrageous War Economy. And he said, yes, America's economy is a war economy, not a manufacturing economy, not an agricultural economy, nor a service economy. Not even a consumer economy. We are, in fact, a war economy. And the reason why we go to war is because it is extremely profitable to a select number of people. It also affords us the opportunity to print more money and inflate the money supply. When we inflate the money supply, the debts that that government has incurred that it probably could not pay for with harder money now becomes more manageable because the money supply has been inflated. Just like if you wanted to buy a brand new Buick, 1951 Buick, back in 1951, with the inflated dollars of 2008. Well, geez, I think a brand new Buick back then, I mean, a decked out Buick would cost you about $1,500. Well, $1,500, nearly anyone could afford that. But a brand new Buick in 2008 may cost you $40,000 or $50,000 of the same quality. So, of course, the government enjoys and profits by inflation. And the way they profit by inflation is by allowing us to pay higher prices by reducing our standard of living. And without that, you wouldn't have any wars at all. It'd be absolutely impossible to have any wars. Now, we need to know Ron Paul is the only one during the Republican debates that would constantly address the Federal Reserve and how we needed to get rid of the Federal Reserve and get on some sort of standard for our currency, and we needed to print our own currency, or even better, put it in private hands. If we were on a gold standard, the government would not be printing any money. All they would be doing is minting the coins for us so that we would have a standard, so it would be the same. And the mint would ensure a certain quality, you know, of specific amount of gold or silver in the coin. That's all they would do. And the mint doesn't even have to be government. It could be private. In other words, the currency is now in our hands. And the only time we would relinquish any of that money to the government is if we voluntarily gave it to them. In other words, the government could not all of a sudden print more gold. They couldn't print more paper gold. Ain't no such thing. Now they can print receipts for gold, but they need to have it at Fort Knox. And of course, since the government, it's not the government gold, you would have independent auditors who would say, okay, the government printed $500 billion worth of receipts for gold at X number of dollars per ounce at Fort Knox. Our last audit shows that it has $498 billion worth or something like that. I mean, pretty close to it, you know, plus or minus so much percent. And so there is enough gold in Fort Knox to back up all the receipts. So if everyone went to Fort Knox and says, here's my piece of paper, here's my receipt, my gold certificate, my $1 gold certificate, I want $1 worth of gold, over the counter, they would give them actual physical gold. Folks, it works. It works very well. And what it does more than anything else, it prevents this stupid business cycle that we have of boom and bust, which is totally unnecessary. But more importantly, it stops war because it prevents inflation. And if we only think of war that way, and then on a personal level, don't think of war of our soldiers going over somewhere protecting our freedom, which is all garbage. I mean, they're there just for, you know, to protect the oil lines and to make sure that the companies here, you know, our fascist form of government is fed and is protected. Unfortunately, a fascist form of government is like a socialist form of government run by the corporations. That's all that is, basically. And that's what we have, unfortunately. Now, so to want to go back to John McCain. I didn't go full circle with him. So John McCain sort of just dropped bombs on basically mostly innocent people. And even those people in Vietnam who were involved in the war effort for the people of Vietnam were doing so to protect themselves. They weren't terrorists. They weren't soldiers. They just wanted to protect their country. They wanted us out. But we napalmed the place. And he killed countless. I mean, we don't know how many, he doesn't know how many people he could have killed. Could have been thousands upon thousands of innocent children mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers, thousands of them he could have killed. So to Vietnam, he was not a war hero. He was your ultimate terrorist. But we don't look at it that way. We say he's a war hero, so he should be our president. And overseas are saying, why are they making a terrorist a president? They have a good question. They have a very good question. And we, as Americans, should be asking the same question again. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, which I love to do, by the way. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life, folks. Embrace it. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. And this election year, vote for Bob Barr and Wayne Allen Root. They're our people, they're our libertarians running for office. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.